Looking for a guiding hand in your Amazon business? Wizards of Ecom Academy is here for you. Our personalized support system includes unlimited email access to myself and my entire team to help you overcome challenges and strategize effectively. Sign up for an exclusive rate at wizardsofecom.com/academy. Your personal e-commerce coach awaits.
Welcome to the Wizards of Ecom, your no-fluff playbook for online success. Each episode is fully packed with actionable tactics you can implement in your business right now. Take your life to a higher level and excel in your online success. It's time to work on you and your business. Let's do this.
Welcome back to the Wizards of Ecom. My name is Carlos Alvarez. I will be your host for the show. On today's episode, we have a fast friend and repeat presenter at the Wizards of Amazon meetup group, Vanessa Hung. Vanessa, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Carlos. I'm so honored to be here. I'm so happy to share with your audience.
The honor is mine. I am extremely honored that you're in the group. I was thinking of like something to say before the show in this introduction, and I was going to say like a hidden gem, like one of the benefits of running such an amazing group is that you see like hidden talent come through. But in this case, you like weren't hidden. Like this is something you do. You have a business behind it. And I think it was a few conversations or like a share or the questions you were asking or the way you were answering stuff. And I was like, damn, she really knows her stuff. So, and then we've just explored it from there and you've dropped a ton of value to the group. I was gonna say my group, but our group, you've dropped a ton of value. We're working on some really cool projects to hopefully be announcing in the coming months, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And the purpose of this show, though, like just cutting right to the chase, anybody listening to this deciding now whether they should listen to this or not, this show is going to be like I've invited you to the show to talk about an issue in the Amazon space that currently, as we record this, which is May 6th, Amazon seems to be in a lull. Like they're not blowing up everybody's inbox with pesticide claims. That could change tomorrow. But the goal of this episode is to, and again, my reasoning for bringing you on the show is that many people in the Amazon space get worried and confused, you know, about this whole pesticide claim. So I want to talk about it, why it exists. And you're going to share and make available to the listeners a free download, which let me tell you, not even that we're friends. This is these by far one of the best pieces of content, period, I've seen written in the Amazon space as far as the way it was created. But also it is a dummy proof blueprint, step-by-step, Stevie Wonder could follow this, guide to get out of a pesticide problem. So at the end of the show, we'll make people wait. You'll provide a URL or something for where people can contact you or get this amazing guide. Like anybody that gets this guide is not as amazing as I say, reach out to me, we'll debate it, but it's amazing. So that's what we're going to talk about on this show. And I don't want to call you the queen of pesticides because that sounds like a junky title, but like, yeah, you know your stuff. That's what we're going to talk about. And before doing that though, I've had to copy and paste this and reread it, you know, in the creating of all these meetup events that which you've presented a lot on to date and you're presenting this Saturday. I've had to look at a lot of bios and stuff. So like I have your bio in front of me actually.
Okay.
And this is how some of the events start. Like in Vanessa's own words, I swapped a few words out just to make this, you know, make sense that I'm reading it, but it's, you began transforming Amazon businesses in 2017 and single-handedly scaled a client rapidly to seven figures in under a year. That's a huge wow. It's amazing. Like seven figures is like in a year now. When I started, it was like make $100 a day. But you quickly learned that those same skills of determination and resourcefulness were extremely valuable in the Amazon community. And this is why you founded your current company, Online Seller Solutions, that helps sellers focus on the things that matter the most for their business, growing their accounts, while your team handles the management side of things. You solve Amazon's problems so other people can sell. What is your name? What is your number one Amazon seller question? That last one's pretty bold. Like, I don't know many people that get up in front of a group in like an AMA, which you've been doing with me too in the beginner hour, and just throw out there like any question you have, shoot, I got it. But very, very impressive. First question that I'd love to kick things off with you on is, what prior experience did you have prior to e-commerce that, you know, maybe influenced how successful you've been at growing other people's accounts today?
Sure. And first, I don't even know where that bio is. So that's a cool bio. So I have it somewhere. I wrote it sometime. I don't remember. Well, I can start with saying that I always been a problem solver. So this is something that goes back to my childhood. I've been like this way. I'm wired that this way, and I cannot help myself. Like, and it's been something that I thought it was a common skill. And with time and doing what I'm doing, being part of different communities, different groups, I see that my skill is really valuable and sometimes it's different. And that is what had made me successful in the things that I do, because I have the curiosity to answer the questions. And I have this mindset of, okay, if I come up with a question and I don't know the answer, let me research, let me find out how can I solve it. And that curiosity had led me to amazing spaces like this one. And I find Amazon, it's like, I feel like a fish in the ocean, like I am in my flow. And this is super weird because when I try to explain that to people, I like my hand can go around Seller Central and I'm not even looking. Like I know what to do and I feel that that's an entirely different world and I'm there and I feel like I know so much because I always go there with a question, like, how do I solve this? And that helped me. Before that, so I'm from Venezuela. I found my first company when I was 19, my first quote unquote successful private label. So I had a brand of balance boards and I did it like myself from scratch. So I did all the work and it was really amazing. I started doing workshops and that's something that since high school, since the school, I was always really interested in communities. And that's why I'm so blessed and so happy to be part of the group Wizard of Amazon, because I always found that this brings a lot of value and I'm thrilled to be part of it. Contribute. And one of my quotes that I lead my life with it is like, never die a student, die a teacher. So yes, I am a student every day in my work because I want to learn and I want to answer those questions. But as soon as I have the answer, I love to share it. And when many times people come up to me and they say like, yeah, but why do you share this? And I'm like, because I know it and I know people will be like find value in it. So yeah, that's my background. And also, I also study economics back in Venezuela. Well, I started in political science, then I changed to economics and I fell in love with entrepreneurship. And that led me to my first company and then other ones that were not that successful, but I can refer to that one. And yeah, I mean, I didn't came across Amazon looking for it. Actually, it happened. And my skills here integrate extremely well with what I'm doing, which is the management side of Amazon. So I don't know. It was not planned. I didn't plan to be an account manager, but my skills are perfect for it. And I'm so happy to be here, like doing what I do every day.
That's sweet. So let me see if I understand. So you found that Amazon Seller Central is kind of like your zone of genius right now. You enter flow state really quick when you get in front of an Amazon Seller Central account, regardless of the size. And you mentioned something in your last presentation in the meetup group where I think I was actually sitting in the audience asking questions, but it was about soft skills. So but these other skills wouldn't be soft skills. These were just like other skills that you had that were able to really gel very well with an Amazon business. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. So obviously you need like basic stuff in Excel or some tool here and there, but the soft skills are the things that make the difference, or at least that's how I view it. Like, the problem solving is not something that you can teach. Like, there is no a career, or there is no a program. Maybe there are some coaches there trying to teach that, but it's part of a personality, and I think you can learn to be a problem solver, and that's the skills that I think it's needed in this space.
It's genius. Let's get to the topic. So pesticides, like, I want to have this show as if we're speaking to somebody that's a relative newbie on Amazon, and we need to break this down in basic terms versus both of us have extensive experience selling on Amazon. So I don't want to talk over anybody's head. Is that fair?
Yeah, totally.
So why is pesticides even an issue on Amazon?
Well, we need to go back to the actual law and the policy. This is something that exists like in and outside of Amazon. And the restrictions come from a regulation called the EPA and the FIFRA, which are governmental organizations that regulate everything that claims to kill bacteria, microbial like particles and all this kind of stuff. So before, only people that were doing like killing pests were the ones that need to focus on this. And one of the things that I feel that Amazon, it's been playing and it's been enforcing these rules, is because the space is huge. So and I feel that now and still it's a little bit the Wild West, because you can come up with an idea and just sell it on Amazon and that's it. And if you go over some loops, you can find a way to just sell the stuff. So the EPA is a regulation that requires the whole manufacturer supply chain to be regulated by this. It's a certification. So the manufacturer, the distributor, the warehouse that holds the products, and everyone in between needs to have the certificate that they can handle pesticide stuff. So I believe that Amazon start enforcing these regulations that are actually a law, because many sellers were breaking it. So many sellers were like, okay, I'm going to... I have this amazing private label idea. Nobody is selling it on Amazon. So I'm going to come with the perfect product to kill, I don't know, roaches in your house. And they put it on Amazon and they sell it and they are a huge success. So, and they were not advised or they don't know about the regulations that are outside of Amazon. It's not, this is not even Amazon. This is the government. So this creates a concern, right? So for Amazon, it's like, okay, we need to protect customers, which I'm 100% agree with. And this is something really important, because sometimes when these kind of policies are enforced by Amazon, many sellers say like, oh, but Amazon is always against us. And that's not really the reason why they enforce like pesticide stuff. They don't have anything against you or against the seller that is selling this, but they need to protect and they need to be accountable for this stuff. So I love it when this happens. And this is not the only one, the only policy that has been enforced lately. And I think it will be happening again, maybe for other kind of regulations. But it's basically a regulation for products that claim to be pesticide devices or any pesticidal claims. So killing bacteria is a pesticidal claim that many people in the marketing space love to do or love to say, even though they are not 100% verified. So it's not proof, it's just marketing.
Yeah, let's get to that latter part that you just touched on in a little bit. let me see. I'm trying to think of a way to like word this really well. Okay. So you can sell pesticides on Amazon.
You can do it.
Correct.
But your whole manufacturer supply chain distribution chain needs to have the certifications. And okay. for that, there is a certification number. So you,
okay.
when you prove that to Amazon, you're allowed, of course.
Yeah. So it is a law outside of Amazon, and it is a rule within Amazon that Amazon is just enforcing the law. They're not going above and beyond that law. They're just enforcing it, and they're making it applicable across their marketplace. It was something they should have always enforced. It's not a new rule per se. It's just they're now like actually enforcing it. I also agree with you that different regulations and certifications, things that should have been being enforced this whole time but are not, that we're going to quickly see in 2021 that they're going to be enforced. In California, I'm not sure if you're familiar, the Bolger case, and now there's another one, I don't remember the name, where California has said that Amazon is liable for the products that are sold on its platform. So I think it's logical to assume that Amazon in turn is going to say, okay, look, if we're going to be reliable for what you sell, you yeah. need to show us that you're like you're responsible to sell this, and you have all of your certs and regulations on point and readily accessible. So I think that's also why they're reaching out to sellers for insurance and all that stuff. So I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. So you can sell pesticides if you go about it the right way and you have all your pesticide documents and your EPA stuff. What about, you hear a lot about people that sell a garlic press or a phone case, a battery pack, things that just have absolutely no connections yeah. whatsoever to a pesticide yeah. is what I'm getting at with my examples. You do hear a lot of people that are getting hit with this pesticide, you know, suppression. Why is that happening? And what should people not do if that happens to them?
Okay, so going back to my last point where I mentioned that the marketing is a big thing and sellers like to claim stuff that could not be 100% real. So what happened is that when Amazon enforced this policy, they didn't give a folder to a bunch of people and say like, okay, check these folders and look for the sellers that are doing wrong. No, they just put something in the code, in the algorithm, to trigger anything that could be related to that. At the beginning was stuff that you are like, this is not a pesticide. For example, dust. So you could have dust in your listing anywhere, description, bullets, title, all text behind the metadata on the images, and you could get triggered. So they put it extremely broad and with keywords or on claims that were not directly related to pesticides. But with time, I saw like this started last year, and right now they are more clean. So actually when I see something, it's because it really has some word there that can be interpreted by an algorithm, not even by a person. Because if you see a shoe that it says, I don't know, waterproof. So this is a keyword that at the beginning or last year, it was triggered. And you wonder like, why is this pesticide? It is not. But the system didn't have a chance to analyze. So now I see more listings that are actually claiming some stuff there. And that's where we as sellers need to be iterating every time and innovating and coming with new ways to do copy and sell stuff. So we need to be very creative. Now when we do copy for our listings, we need to be sure that we are not using any of that words unless we are sure they are part of it. Because sometimes, for example, I saw one time a seller that had a pillow and they claimed to be hypoallergenic. So that is actually a pesticide claim, because hypoallergenic means that the bacteria doesn't live in there. And they need to have an EPA in theory, but it's a marketing claim because they are not proved to be actually hypoallergenic. So they need to take that away. And they thought it was part, or they think the pillow is actually hypoallergenic, but if they don't have the certifications, you cannot claim that. And yeah, this happens. And when I share my link to the SOP, you're going to see there in the third page, you will see a list of keywords or phrases that if you use right now, you will get triggered. These are not the only ones, but the few that are actually attached to being a pesticide.
I was going to say that, imagine if you were somebody that did have all these certifications. And do you happen to know if they're expensive or cheap to get?
I don't know. I think they are not easy to get, though, because everyone in the supply chain needs to have it. So I know a seller, actually. I don't know the cost of the process, but I know this seller that needed to have it in their manufacturer. So the manufacturer needs to register. The manufacturer in China needs to register with the FIFRA and the EPA. And then the export company that carries that to the States, and then they themselves, like as the importer of record, and then the warehouse where they were storing and prepping and packing this stuff. So I believe that me saying all this, it's not cheap, because many people in the supply chain need to do it. There are companies already specialized out there in this kind of products. So they are already certified for that.
Yeah, I would imagine you could definitely search for people that specialize in that. It's like one person's problems, another person's opportunity. When I hear stuff like that, I imagine I would prefer to find a product that has many, many layers of difficulty or challenges to overcome before you can sell it, just because I know that's going to weed out the majority of my competition. But trying to think as a seller, like imagine if you had all these certifications so that you could prove that your pillow was hyperallergenic. Did I say that right?
And allergenic, yeah.
Allergenic, okay. And you see all these other people popping up all over the place. You know they don't have the certs, and they're eating your lunch when it comes to PPC for this specific keyword. And they're also selling it at a ridiculously cheap price because they don't have to take into account all of this, you know, pesticide level control costs that come with dealing with a specialized company. And now they must be, I would imagine that they were behind this push to get Amazon to take action on this. So I would say, you said it was page 3 of the SOP that people are going to see. I would look at that. I've not seen that page actually. Or it's not coming to mind, but I would imagine that
maybe it's page 4. The title is pesticide keywords. It's if after the workflow.
I would look at those keywords actually as look at them as like a starting point to source a new product, knowing that these are main keywords that I'm going to want to go after. And that if anyone attempts to do this, they're going to deal with pesticide issues sooner rather than later, unless they go through the motions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It seems like a company that would go through all those motions is probably.
I think that also there is a legal component here, because if you go out there, because this is a law in the States, if you go to Target and you look for a pillow that is claiming to be hypoallergenic, you won't see the EPA registration number. So it must be something there where you can fight for an exemption. And this is part of the course, because Amazon, I don't know if it was in 2019, but I believe it was 2019 or 18, they roll over like a bunch of emails saying like, you need to do this pesticide course, you need to do the pesticide course. And if you go over, they explain to you what is the EPA, what is the FIFRA, what are the regulations, what are the consequences or of not complying with all the requirements, and what are the exemptions. So in the exemptions, there are some there. And I feel if you look for legal advice, they can help you to find out those. But because Amazon is being so radical about the claims, and they won't let you do hypoallergenic unless you have that, or they won't let you have antibacterial unless you have some kind of certifications. I totally agree with you that this will be a space that will have a bunch of opportunities for the people that want to jump those hoops.
Okay, let me ask you one more question, and then I want to talk specifically about the SOP. What are there any actions that you see that people do when they get hit with one of these pesticide claims that is actually hurting them that you want to just say, hey, don't do that?
Oh, yes, please don't delete the listing. So this is the most common thing that I saw, like in every case where they contact me for this. So you get what it's called a restricted policy violation on your account page. Normally, the restricted policy violation itself in the dashboard, it doesn't say why the ASIN is there. So it doesn't say like, this is a pesticide issue, or this is a dietary supplement issue, or this is whatever issue. So you should get an email. And normally in the email, they say like, yeah, we found that this ASIN is claiming to have pesticide claims, and we shut it down because of that. Okay, so what people freak out and they're like, okay, let me remove it, let me take it, let me delete it. When they delete the ASIN from their inventory, it's virtually impossible to fix it anymore. Because if they were stopped and, you know, if they had the SOP that I'm going to share with them, they will see that they can change some information in the listing to make it available again. And it's actually pretty easy. It's not that hard. It's not an appeal. It's not a POA. It's not calling Amazon to fix it. It's just changing some details, some fields in the compliance tab or in the flat file. So the main mistake is that one. When you delete it you delete the listing and then I come in and try to list it again, I cannot because the product is detail page removed or it's not available anymore for you to sell. So it's you almost like burn that bridge because of deleting the listing.
That's like the major one. Are there any others that you notice that come up that somebody does it?
No, I think that's the main one. The other one is like they just don't add on it or they leave it like that. And I mean, I don't believe that this is a complaint in the account hill that will get your account shut down. But if you don't make something to fix it, or if you try to kind of black hat, try to fix it or do something else to keep selling the product, that can hit you. But the complaint itself, it's semi-harmless.
Semi-harmless unless you're getting a lot of sales from this product.
Oh, yeah. I was speaking about the account health part of it, the side of things. So
sure.
This is semi-harmless because it's not going to get your account shut down. But yeah, of course, it's extremely harmful if this is your best-selling product. And I see a case where this seller had an antifungal product. They were claiming to be antifungal. Actually, that's the product. And they didn't have any idea about the EPA and the FIFRA. So that's where you say, like, okay, look, these people came this far making millions on Amazon, and then they got, like, shut down because of it. But with all the reason. So yeah, they are very harmful.
The people that I know people that have spent hundreds, if not thousands of dollars, you know, hiring someone in a panic because, you know, their sales got turned off due to a pesticide issue to get it resolved. But what's the difference between somebody paying thousands of dollars and somebody just getting your SOP? Do you feel like...
Look, at the beginning, And when I start solving this and seeing these in Seller Central accounts, it was really, it was frightening because we didn't know what to do. So that's when my skill of problem solving and being a student every time that I approach an issue is like, okay, let me see how I can fix it. So that, let's say that was December last year, so or January this year. And I come with this and a client comes and I'm like, okay, let me see how can I fix it. And I could spend hours, maybe days, weeks, just trying to figure it out. And it was after I figured everything out and after Amazon gave some guidance on the issue, it was that we can solve it. So for those weeks of not selling and sellers panicking and freaking out about their account and their sales and everything else, I understand why they will go to somebody that claimed to help, to be helpful and paying a lot of money. But at the end of the day, I don't think that the people that got paid for that, they knew what they needed to do. So because it was not clear. And that's the main thing when Amazon changes policies and changes compliance stuff, they don't tell you what to do. And most of the time, they don't even know what they're doing. So they don't know what they're doing. You don't know what to do, but there is a problem and we need to fix it. Now with my SOP, if you have the information of your EPA, you can solve it. If you don't have a product that is pesticide, you can solve it without any like EPA regulation number. So now it's a few clicks. And when I share this publicly and I put it in my website, I reach out to Facebook groups, obviously for the people that are part of Wizard of Amazon in the Telegram chat I share, many were coming to me saying like, oh my God, Vanessa, this was a problem for the last 3 months and we solved it in 10 minutes because of the SOP. So I think this is a game changer. And as all the SOPs in I'll say only, it's not only Amazon, but in life, in business, they need to be updated. So I don't know for how long this SOP will work. I believe because things are calmed down and all sellers are now aware of pesticide. Before that, like beginning of last year, if I will ask you, Carlos, do you know what is a pesticide device? Were you able to answer?
Not as knowledgeable as I would now. Absolutely not. Yeah.
So yes, that's something. So we are now aware.
I would have said something that kills bugs. That's probably what I would have said. Exactly. Honestly, that's probably what I would have said.
Exactly. So yeah, I mean, the difference is that one. This is a manual do-it-yourself kind of situation. So do it yourself and not paying a lot of money for it.
I agree. And I think you're being super humble about it. I feel like the difference between your SOP and somebody paying $1,000 for an example to get this fixed is $1,000. Like yours is just as good as like the best stuff I've seen out there. Again, I have you on the show for that. So you can stay humble. I'll pitch it. I want to talk just briefly about the structure of this SOP. Like I want someone to visualize this. If it was up to me, like everybody selling on Amazon would have this filed away in their SOPs under pesticide or like break glass in case of an emergency type of situation. What can somebody expect when they see this? Just like a list of bullet points, a bunch of paragraphs that are hard to read. Like talk me through, like help somebody visualize this, that they're going to get, what they're going to get.
Sure. Well, the first part of the SOP is just explaining what is the problem. So I approach this like an essay, like a research paper, where I put the abstract there, like what is EPA, what is FIFRA, what is this happening now? And there is a workflow. So if you don't want to, if you tell me, oh, Vanessa, I'm really experienced with Seller Central, I will know what to do, just saying, pointing out what are the steps that I want to, or that I need to, or what are the questions that I need to answer to solve this problem. So this workflow has a bunch of questions and answered by yes and no and with simple steps. So for example, one question is, does your product qualify for an exemption in case it is a pesticide device? So there is a yes, there is a no, and for each one of those, there is a solution. A really quick phrase, sentence. Then you have the keywords just to have a reference, because before making any change, and this is something that I explain in the SOP, they need to be sure that they are actually not doing pesticide claims. And after that, there is the actual workflow, and it's written extremely simple, step by step. I put it since like, what happened when you open Seller Central? So where do you go there? I could have been like doing, okay, download the flat file and fill the column L A and L E or whatever. But no, I did it for people that don't have any kind of experience, or they are not that knowledgeable, and they're very simple steps. So I can read you one. And step number two, it says, in your managed inventory, search for the ASIN you want to change to avoid being classified as a pesticide. And I put
the screenshot. So everything comes with an accompanying graphic of what you're looking at on your dashboard. So it's like holding your hand to go through the whole process. That's what I wanted to like drill home to everybody there.
Yes.
And
you actually don't need to read the steps. If you go through the screenshots, you will know what to do.
Probably be a good slide deck for LinkedIn too. Let me ask you one more thing about it. Is this also something like for those of us that are, I guess, blessed like me to have an amazing team working for them? Is this something that they could pass off to somebody on their team as a, hey, this is how we handle things?
Totally. It's made for everybody that has a Seller Central account and an ASIN.
I love it. Vanessa, is there anything about pesticides you feel that I should have asked? And you're like, Carlos, why didn't you ask me this?
No, not really. We cover everything. And if you are, the sellers need to research if their product actually is a pesticide or not. And fixing, sometimes I've seen that having a pesticide device and just not making the pesticidal claims, they will go, like, you know, it's not really legal, or, you know, it's not ethical to do. But yeah, I know that you can solve it. So on Amazon, everything, I feel that everything can be solved, even this.
100%. Yeah, I agree 100%. For everybody listening to this, I want to be respectful of your time, but I want to throw this out there. If you want to see Vanessa in action presenting and teaching topics, go to wizardsofecom.com/classes, and she comes up frequently in English and Spanish presentations. So you'd be able to chum in. If you're not local, there's a live stream with an accompanying link to watch via live stream and ask questions live. For people outside of the event though, Vanessa, that undoubtedly are going to have questions about this or, you know, other areas of expertise you have within Amazon, what is the best way? Or I can almost guess. I think I know what it's going to be, but whatever. What's the best way for somebody to reach out to you and ask questions? And also, where can people go to get this SOP that we've been like teasing them with for 30 minutes?
Sure. Well, you can contact me at full-time Amazon on Instagram. And I love it. That's the Instagram.
I knew it.
Yes. You know, I'm pretty active in my DMs and in the community there. If you have something that you feel that it's better in an email, because you want to send attachments just to ask for an opinion, you can email me to vanessa@fulltimeamazon.com. The website for the agency, and I know the agency is called Online Seller Solutions. So if you go to onlinesellersolutions.com, you will see like at the beginning, It will ask you if you want to put your email to get the SOP. And after you put the email, we will send you within, I don't know, 5 minutes. And yeah, if you put fulltimeamazon.com, you will actually get redirected to the same website. So that those are my best channels. And obviously, I'm part of the group. So I am in Wizard of Ecom Wizard of Amazon meetups every Saturday. So if you are local, live in Miami, South Florida, and want to go there just to ask a question in person, I'll be extremely happy to answer that. And if you want to become part of the group, I really think that it's an amazing place to learn, to grow, and to connect.
Yeah, just go up to her and say, I heard you on episode 94 of the Wizards of Ecom. I loved it. I have this question. Like, that'll make her day. And did you say where people could go to get the SOP?
You just go into the website and you will get like a pop-up window that asks you for your email.
Yeah, and if the pop-up doesn't work, they can just spam your DMs on Instagram.
Also that, yes. I'll try to. It isn't working. I don't know.
No, okay. It's working. I'm just messing with you, like, just so people know, like, then get a hold of you. I guess that's a bad funny on my part. What, before letting you escape from the show, something I ask all the guests, and I have a hunch you've been asked this before recently.
Yeah.
Is what is your favorite book and why?
Okay, so I recently been asked in another podcast about my favorite book, and I feel that I wanted to change it because everything changes. So this is a non-business related one.
Love it.
I love it so bad. It's from Anthony DeMello.
DeMello? Okay.
Yeah,
I've not heard of this
DeMello
author.
DeMello or DeMio. I don't know how do you pronounce it.
We'll figure it out.
It's called, in Spanish, La Oración de la Rana, which in English, I don't know, what's the name in English?
The frog song is basically what that translates literally into English, but
yeah,
it sounds a lot more romantic in Spanish.
Yes. So that I read that book when I was... in high school, then I read it when I was in the university, and I recently come across the book again, and it's extremely powerful. It's very spiritual. So if you're not an spiritual person, you can still read it because it's a compound of all the wisdom of all religions around the world. So there is wisdom from Buddhism, the Christianism, Jewish, like, from everything, and there are little like phrases or I don't know how you call it, like a small paragraph. So that's the wisdom, like a metaphor, you know.
Sure.
How do you call the stories that are like a metaphor,
like an analogy, a metaphor?
Yes. Oh, sure. It's analogy. So in one
a
page
parable?
You can parable that. In one page, you can have like five. And when you read one and you connect with that, it's like super powerful. I love
can you tell
book.
Me, can you tell me like one impact it's had on your life, like shaping who you are today or something that guides you, like one thing?
Well, from that book, I think that one that got or in overall, like what it makes me realize is about like responsibility, and that being spiritual is just being responsible of your acts. So that was, for me, transformational. And I started reading this kind of heavy stuff when I was super young. So you can imagine, like, I'm pretty intense. And I can say that this book changed my life. It's not something that you read in one seat and then you read the whole book. Even you can. But the instructions of the book is that you read one parable a day. So it can last you maybe a year, year and a half. Just reading
very similar to like personal NBA in that sense, where it's like one bit that you can read and the book could last you a year.
Yes.
But Vanessa, huge, huge, huge thank you. You totally lived up to the hype. Thank you for coming on the show. I look forward to having you on the show again soon. I look forward to seeing your presentation this Saturday. And I have no doubt that you've helped a lot of people in combating a pesticide issue if it ever comes up for them in their account, and maybe even save people a lot of money on the way they're approaching sourcing a product, keeping in mind that if their main way of selling it is making claims that your product can do certain things that it really can't, that they can cross those boxes out and get right with the law and Amazon before totally. Launching their product. So huge thank you. And we will talk soon.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
It was fun sharing this episode with you. If you found value in what you've heard, please show your love with a subscribe, rate, and review of the show. Until next time.